I've got a question for you. Have you ever been stuck somewhere? Like really stuck? Like we're not going anywhere. Like, I don't know, you're on a trip, say up I-75 on your way to Indiana on vacation, and you hit Chattanooga and there's a semi truck rolled over in the middle of the road. And there are cars and trucks as far as you can see ahead of you. Stuck. Like get out the barbecue grill, start up lunch, because we're not going anywhere for a long time, kind of stuck. Maybe. Or maybe you're a kid and you remember when you were put into a car seat, probably in that traffic jam, and you're just stuck there for as long as you have to be stuck. Maybe you've been stuck in a conversation, or stuck in a job, a dead-end job, or stuck in a marriage. Don't answer that, okay, if that's true for you. Stuck. Or maybe stuck on a top of a 15-foot water slide with your petrified son about to go into a lake, and he's not moving, kind of stuck, and there's nowhere else to go but down. Not that that's ever happened to me, but stuck. We're not going anywhere. Look, we've all been there. We've all had those situations in life where we're stuck. In fact, maybe now you kind of feel that way with this COVID-19 pandemic. Maybe you feel stuck at home, or you've been stuck in a hospital bed. Maybe stuck in the circumstances around you, or stuck in fear, stuck in isolation, stuck in front of a screen, just waiting for the latest news reports and statistics to come out. And the truth of the matter is, we can't wait to get unstuck. We can't wait. We can't wait to get out of the situation we're in. And the only way for that to happen is for things to change. Change. You see, that's when we get unstuck. And change can go either way. Change can go bad, or change can go good, for better or for worse. But the truth is, you won't be stuck anymore once things begin to change. And I have to believe that the best way to change is when God changes us. You see, even if our circumstances on the outside don't change, we can be changed for the better. Our heart, our bodies, our mind, and especially spiritually. You see, God changes things when he changes us from the inside out. So I've got to ask, if we feel stuck, is my being stuck happening, maybe, so that God can actually change me? It's a really good question. You know, our new series has to do with this. And like a traffic jam or the coronavirus, see, when things begin to change, when we finally get unstuck, when we get that signal to go, when we get that signal to be free, we want to do it, man. We want to just get out. We want to go. And we hit the gas and we take off. And I think this is a really great time to talk about getting unstuck by allowing God to change the way we think and do about life. And that's what this series is about. That Roman numeral 12, it stands for one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible when it comes to God's process for getting us unstuck and changing our lives. It stands for Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. It's just one chapter, 21 verses. But if we will take God's word in that chapter seriously, he will change us. He'll change you. He'll change me. He'll change our church, and quite possibly even the world around us. So go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles, and I'm gonna give you a little background as you do. This book of Romans, it's a letter in the Bible, in the New Testament, written by a man named the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote this letter, Romans, in AD 57 to the city of, guess where? Rome. Yes, there were Christians there, and Paul was a Roman citizen, and he had Jewish heritage. He was a former religious leader who actually persecuted Christians and allowed them to be killed until Paul met Jesus, and everything changed. His life was transformed
for Christ. See, Paul not only became a Christ follower, but he became a God-inspired apostle and a preacher and a missionary and an author who would promote the cause of Christ. And part of that was a letter that he wrote to the Christians in Rome. Now, these Roman Christians that Paul was writing to were primarily new believers. They were non-Jews and Jewish believers alike. So Romans is kind of like this foundational teaching about the Christian faith and Christian belief. And Paul tells us how all humans were stuck in sin. And then God provided a way for us to be free by sending his one and only son, Jesus, to save us. Romans. The book of Romans tells us how we can be saved. It tells us about how we can have unity in the church and be the kind of church that God created us to be, how we can experience God's love and how his kingdom is for everyone, and then how to live in the very real righteousness of God, a relationship with him. You know, these first 11 chapters in Romans are like a master's class in God's work in the world, about an all-powerful creator and an all-powerful, all-loving God who came to us to give us new life in Christ. In a nutshell, I guess you could say that, well, Romans is, it tells us how God saves people to life and then how to live life as God's saved people. It's a remarkable, remarkable book. And this brings us to Romans chapter 12 and some how-tos about being changed from the inside out. And it happens through a relationship with in two ways. First, this vertical relationship that we can have with God. Change happens when we experience that. So we have this vertical relationship with God and then also this horizontal relationship with others. And it's all right here in Romans chapter 12. Now today we're only going to cover the first two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So here it is. Follow along. God says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will." You know, verse 1 gives us this key to getting unstuck, to seeing a positive change. And in a word, in a picture, it's this: a heart, a heart. You see, it begins with a heart of worship. In Romans 1 through 11, Paul has taught us how we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And although we deserve death because of our sin, God has shown great mercy on us and offered us life in Christ. And then look what Paul's word says here. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." He's appealing to our hearts. You see, if we will look through the lens of God's mercy on us, it literally will change our hearts. It can change our heart and then the way that we see life through God's mercy. See, instead of seeing circumstances around us, our view, the way we see things, can be of a God who created the universe, who loves us enough that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that we would not perish, but that we would have eternal life. You see, God visited us. We talked about this last series, in the series about the God-man, that he came to earth, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died for our sins on the cross, and then he rose from the grave so that we could have life in his name. You see, when we deserved death, God showed us love. God gave us mercy. And he loves you. And if that doesn't inspire us and move us to worship, what will? Just let that sink in, the mercy of God. Because when we feel stuck, it's when we need to take a good, long look at the mercy of God. And God's mercy will move us to worship him, to true worship. To proper worship, Paul says. This spiritual service of worship, it's translated. And in verse 2, Paul says, in view of God's mercy, that it only makes sense that because of God's mercy that we would serve and worship him. So, it's time for a heart check. A heart check. Our own hearts. Look at God's mercy on you. Take an inventory of who God is and what he's done in your life. Look at what he can do and worship him. He's holy and worthy of our worship. You say, well, yes, I'm stuck. It's hard to see things out. I'm stuck in traffic. Well, maybe worship means thanking God. Thanking God that even though you're stuck in traffic, that you have a car. Or like Lisa, my wife, would say, hey, at least we're all together. We'll be here for a while. But you say, but Joe, I don't have a car. I don't have anyone. Well, you have a bike. But no, I don't have a bike. Well, maybe you have legs. No, I don't have any legs. Look. I know things can get bad in this world, all right? Look, because God's mercy doesn't only talk about seeing things in this world, but God's mercy also extends into eternity. Look, we're not meant to be here forever. Yes, we're going to get stuck. So view God's mercy in view of eternity and what he has offered us. See, are we ever really stuck? Ever really stuck if we're moving towards heaven? You see, God offers us this great new life in Jesus now and forever. The offer of heaven is our destiny, man. You talk about mercy. You know, this week, one of my heroes in this life passed away, and she went to heaven to be with Jesus. Her name was Carol Christie. Many of our members know Carol because Carol was a special, special lady. See, she was, from the time she was born, she would call herself a miracle baby. She wasn't supposed to live. She and her twin sister. In fact, doctors have said all along that, you know, it's just a miracle that you're here. She lived longer than any doctor said she would. She survived cancer over and over again. She lived through chronic pain. She experienced the loss of her twin sister and her husband and her daughter-in-law all since I've known her. Tough times. And even with her body fading over the last few years as she was sick, and she smiled. She brought words of encouragement. She was always willing to pray and always willing to make you feel better because you were in her presence. She led our prayer ministry. She led small groups. She encouraged other people, and she shared her faith with a smile. You know why? You know how? Because she had a view. She had a view of God's mercy. She had a view of eternity. Because her eyes were on Jesus and her hope was in heaven, she had a true heart for worship. Look, I want to have that kind of heart. And I hope you do too. And we can. We can by taking our eyes off of the current circumstances we're in and seeing God's mercy for what it is, who he is, and what he's done. Yes, we can read the Bible. We can pray. We can worship God. And let him change our hearts, because getting unstuck means having a heart surrendered to God, a heart of worship. And a heart of worship will respond to God. Paul tells us how in Romans 12, 1, not just with our heart, but with our bodies. Our bodies. You see, our bodies will respond to God. That's why he could say this: offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. I know my body doesn't look like this. Maybe yours doesn't either, but he'll do the job. Here, come stand right there for me. Yeah. That's good. Back to Romans. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, these Roman Christians, they would have understood the language Paul was using, whether they were former pagans or whether they were Jewish in their beliefs. They knew what sacrifices were. You see, sacrifice meant a life for a life, the permanent death of a consecrated animal that was decisively and intentionally offered up, surrendered as an act of worship. And Paul uses this example to illustrate what worship looks like when we surrender our bodies to God, not as dead sacrifices, but as living sacrifices. It's amazing. It means that we will live all in, all out, to God, for God, all of us, in a very personal way. in a very physical way. See, Paul says, offer your body, your personal body, very physical. It means we're going to do something. See, getting unstuck isn't just a want to, it's a to do. So when we get permission to go, we got to make a decision to go. And we're not just going to sit there and wait. It's a to do as well. See, Jesus, our Lord, modeled this, man. Jesus did. As he gave his life, as he gave his body on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died for us so that we could live for him. Living sacrifices. He taught his disciples that they would have to lose their life in order to gain their life. Dying to live. Living sacrifices. Paul talked about this earlier in Romans chapter 6, about being buried in Christ, with Christ in baptism, and then rising up out of that watery grave to have new life in Jesus. Living sacrifices. Holy. Pleasing to God. Surrendered to him. Consecrated. Set apart for his use to serve God by doing what he says to do with our bodies. He is our master. Okay. I don't know if you have a pet in your house. This might be a good time to think about them if they're around you right now. But I heard something this week that I just wanted to share with you. Now, if you're a dog lover, cat lover, anybody, I don't know why you'd be a cat lover, but it's possible, I guess. Well, I heard somewhere that the difference between having cats as pets and having dogs as pets is that cats have servants and dogs have masters. Think about it. Well, maybe like cats, our bodies need masters, or we will become their servants. That's why I always say, when I'm tempted and my body wants to take over and make me its master, I say, no, you tell your body who's boss. You're a grown man. You be in control here. Who's the master of your body? Well, make a plan right now to offer your body to God for use in his service. Not by our power, not by our might, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Not to earn points with God, but because of who God is and what he's done for us in view of God's mercy. Out of a heart of worship, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So, how about a body check? Body check. Some questions. Are there any parts of your body that aren't really his, like all the time? Anything you're keeping to yourself? Every part of our body holy and pleasing to God. I mean, let's think about it. Head to toe, inside out. How about your eyes? The thing that you look at. How about your ears? The things that you listen to. Maybe it's gossip or music or the images we see, the things that we hear, or your mouth, maybe the things you say. Holy, pleasing to God. Language. What about your hands? Things you do with your hands, the way you serve, or the way you keep things. I don't know, maybe your stomach. The things you eat, how you take care of yourself. You know, ears, eyes, mouths, hands. I mean, think. Should I go any lower? Look. We've all got habits that we don't want to be stuck in anymore. And in order to get loose, man, we need to physically move our bodies away from the things that have us stuck, and use our bodies to serve God. That's how we change. And it is a process. It takes time. It takes practice. And I want to encourage you to give God permission today to work with your body, to work with your heart, because a heart of worship will surrender, and in surrender will offer their bodies as a living sacrifice to him. And one more thing, our hearts, our bodies, one more thing. Verse 2, Paul goes on and says that we can change our minds, that we can be renewed in our minds. Look at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now I'll stop there for a second. This word conform. This word conform means to be shaped into. It means that we can it becomes one like, you know, that kind of thing. And in fact, the word world here doesn't just mean world. It can be translated present age or present times. So do not conform to these present times. I mean, woo,
Man, let me ask you this. Yes or no? Would you say that in our present times, our current world right now is being shaped by the things going on around us? Would you say that your mind, my mind, the mind of our world is being shaped right now? Well, man, since March, you know, this coronavirus has shaped our world. And really, it should. I mean, we need to take this seriously. That's why we honor those of you who are giving your lives, giving your days, and your careers to helping people, frontline workers, medical workers. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for those who are making a difference with your generosity and helping those around us. We have reason to celebrate what you're doing, but we also mourn because people are losing loved ones. I just found out yesterday that we lost our next door neighbor. She got the COVID virus and she's not here anymore. We feel for our neighbors. We mourn for those who have lost graduation ceremonies, for those of you who have lost your jobs or paychecks, time. Man, I mean, it's everywhere. We take this thing seriously. And it just gives us a reason to look back at Romans 1:2 and understand that God doesn't say to come out of the world. He doesn't say to come out of our times. He doesn't say not to participate. He doesn't say to judge or condemn our world either. What God says is to not let it shape us into some stuck version of itself. You see, if these times, these current times have got us worried, got us fearful, got us distracted, then you've conformed. So have I. If this present age is consuming your thoughts, consuming our actions, and drawing us away from what we know is holy, what we know is pleasing to God, we've conformed. And if the world we live in shapes our thoughts, we will get stuck there. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, to the pattern of these times, but be conformed to the God who rules over all time. Yes, our minds. God gives us an eternal hope and a solution to change, transformation, renewal, and it starts here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Man, this word transformed is this word metamorphosis. It means to be changed into another form. Another form. You know, this weekend, my grandkids are at my house. They come over just about every weekend, and they are so much fun. Aiden and Amelia, they're 5 and 7 years old, and man, they love to play, they love to pretend and run around, and we just have a blast together. And one of the things they like to do is to transform into animals, cartoon characters, superheroes. And man, when they do, it is on. I mean, we're wrestling around the floor, and then all of a sudden it's like super gecko strength, and Aiden can throw me across the room. And I'll tell you what, or it's like speed like a cheetah, and they're running all over the place, and it's just like I can't even catch them because they're so fast, or gecko camouflage, and then it's like, where did they go? What are they doing? Or super Tyrannosaurus, you know, Rex, and they start tearing up things, and it's like they're impossible to bring down. It's crazy. They have transformed in their mind into these characters, and to be honest with you, I've got to transform too, or I am toast. It's kind of fun. I got to admit, you know, I actually become like a kid again. But the problem is that, you know, I go to bed at night and then this old man transforms back into this body and I can barely get up in the morning after playing with him. But it's amazing and it's fun. And I think about this verse and what this means, because that's all pretend. But to them, it seems real. And okay, to me too, it seems real. Our minds transform us into something else. But God's word is not pretend. This isn't pretend at all. See, we really can be transformed, not into super gecko strength, but into a brand new mind. You know, science has showed us that we can literally remap our thoughts and change the way that we learn, the way that we think, the things that we do. We can change our habits. We can change the way that we act, and ultimately the way that we live, our minds. Powerful, and they matter. What we think about matters. What we let shape our thoughts matters. So choose well what you put in there. You know, most times when we get stuck right here. Psychologically, we can't move forward, or we get stuck in the way we think. So I want to ask you just to pray about what goes into your mind, to read God's word, to rehearse and to retell yourself his promises, to think about what God says is true, not just what the world says around us is true. See, if we do this, then God will literally, by his spirit and by his word, reprogram our brains. He literally will install like this whole new software over time. With time and with practice, we change. And I have seen it over and over again and again in my life and in thousands of other people's lives as well. Not super gecko strength, but transformation, like real life change. I mean, like we've had lies told to us all through childhood that have been replaced with truth. Old habits that have stopped, drugs and alcohol and pornography, these powerful addictions replaced with new life-giving habits. It's real. Change happens. Negativity replaced with hope. Fear replaced with peace. Anger, cursing, worry, transformed, put away, made new. Change into something that God can use as we serve him with our lives. It's a process. Yes, it is a process. We all know that. Man, I'm 37 years a Christ follower, and I'm still a work in progress. This isn't magic. It's not some light switch that we turn on. And like many of you, though, we know that what it takes is us rearranging our life and rearranging the things that we think about in our world to remind us of the gospel everywhere we go, to surround ourselves with God's word, to constantly be physically and mentally getting rid of the bad and clinging to what is good, like God says, to surround ourselves with God's truth, with God's word, with God's people, with positive music, with positive movies, with things that are going to continue to transform us into what God wants us to be, to change us. Maybe we need to remove ourselves from some of the friends and some of the negativity in our lives. Whatever it takes, God will do his part if we do our part to renew our minds. Praise God. Praise God, I am standing here today to tell you that what Paul says in verse 2 is absolutely true. You will be able to test and to approve. It is true. It is genuine. It is real. What God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. It's God's will that you and I are saved by Jesus. It is God's will for us to spend eternity with him in heaven. And it's God's will that along the way we will change and we will live as disciples of Jesus who become disciple makers and change the world around us for Christ. You see, we will never be stuck. We'll never be bored following Jesus. Living God's will, his good, perfect, pleasing will, really is the best way to live. It's everything he says it is. And it's complete. So don't live life stuck. Stuck in the traffic of this world, the thoughts, the physical things that hold us down. Be free. Be transformed. Be changed. Changed. Changed by a heart of worship because of God's great mercy. Be changed by a surrendered body offered to God as a living sacrifice, and changed with a mind that is renewed with the things of God. You know, before I pray, maybe you've been thinking through the message and Paul's words, and you know, maybe you'd like to write down some things that you're really struggling with in your heart, in your body, or your mind. Maybe there's some things in your life that you just need to give to God once and for all and forever. Write those things down. After the message this morning, you can stay around and we'll be glad to answer some questions, maybe lead you to some next steps, pray for you. Just kind of stay on the feed and we'll be glad to help you with those things. Or call the office this week. We'd love to meet with you and help you as you give your heart your body and your mind to Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your one and only Son, Jesus, to prove your love for us. God, I pray that our hearts would be motivated by your mercy, that you came and you saved us through Christ. You died, Jesus, so that we can live. And now we want to live for you. So we give our hearts to you, God. I pray if there's someone here today that has not given their life to you once and for all and forever, that this might be the day that they give their heart to you. God, that they would come and that they would be baptized into Christ and that they would be buried with Christ and they would walk up out of that water a brand new life in Christ, forgiven of their sins forever, today and for eternity. Our hearts belong to you, God, and I pray that as we give our hearts to you, that our bodies would be given to you. From the bottom of our feet to the tops of our heads, inside out, every single part of us, God, I pause right now. And I pray, every part of our body, God, may it belong to you. Our ears, our eyes, our mouths, our hands, our feet. And God, our minds. Our minds, God, I pray that you would renew them. God, transform us, the way we think. God, please, let us not just get into the word of God, but let the word of God get into us, God. Pray that you would make a way for that to happen this week through small groups, through maybe a Bible app or maybe somebody in a phone call or maybe a meeting, God, that you would bring God's word to life through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Change our hearts, change our bodies, the way we live, the way we think, so that they would be holy and pleasing to you, our Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.